Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to our online worship service. I am Josh Erickson, and I am one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And I am so honored to be spending this time with you whenever this service might be a blessing to you. We are in a conversation that is looking at what it means to be loved by a God who gives us both this unreasonable grace, but then calls us to share with one another what we have to share. And sometimes that feels both reasonable and unreasonable. And today we're going to talk about how everybody can make a contribution to God's work in the world because you have something to offer. Well, again, thanks for joining us, and I hope our time together is a blessing to you. Well, perhaps one of the most famous basketball players of all time is a gentleman that is named Shaquille O'Neal. Many people know Shaq for being the diesel, for being this epic force on the basketball court when he was a player. Now, many of us know him as a sports commentator or an insurance salesperson, if you've seen any of those commercials. But Shaq was known for being a big, big man. He was one of those nearly 7-foot players. He was hundreds of pounds. He was bigger than anybody else and was a force to be reckoned with. And when he played in the league, he was a player that had never been seen before, and there's almost never been anybody like him since who has been so good for so long. Now, Shaq dominated at the rim. He was really good at dunking the ball and getting rebounds, and basically, he played within 5 feet of the rim almost all of his career. But Shaquille O'Neal did shoot an occasional three-pointer, and he was not very good at it. In fact, he attempted only 22 three-pointers in his whole career, and he only made one. And the one he made was an end-of-the-quarter buzzer beater that he jacked up from almost beyond the line, and he banked it in. So in basketball terms, it counts, but it doesn't count. Now imagine for just a minute if Shaq was like, you know what, no, I'm just so good at basketball that I'm going to do whatever I wanted, and I'm just going to shoot three-pointers all the time. It would have been terrible for his team. It would have been so bad. In the case of Shaq, he probably wouldn't have gotten much better at shooting those three-pointers because he was so big. In fact, actually, fun fact about Shaq is that his hands were so big that they covered the basketball so much that that's one of the reasons why he struggled shooting free throws. And if you're a basketball fan, you know what all this means. But if you're not, just bear with me. The fact is, what Shaq did for his team was he played to his strengths. He played to what he was good at, and he set his other teammates up for success by not getting in their way so they could do what they're good at. And because of that, Shaq was an ultimate team player. He was beloved by his teammates. He won multiple championships and is considered one of the greatest big men of all time. What Shaq shows us and what other people can show us is how important it is to really do those things that we're gifted at and those things where we do well to fit into a team when we do those things. Now, this isn't just limited to sports or to basketball or football players. A similar thing is true for musicians and for singers. I mean, think about the kind of a band or an orchestra. If somebody said, you know what, I'm just a really good musician, and so I'm gonna just go and pick up a different instrument and start playing it. Now, some people can maybe go pick up one thing and be okay at it, but if they tried to force their way in, it would ruin the orchestra, it would ruin the band. Or think about a vocalist who knows their part. They, you know they're a soprano, alto, a tenor, or a bass, and they say, you know what, I'm just so good as a bass that I think I can sing like a soprano. And you know what's gonna happen? It's gonna go terribly. But you know what goes great? Is when the bass singer says, I'm gonna sing the bass part and I'm gonna contribute at this place because this is what I'm good at. And I know when I do this, it helps our choir, it helps our band sound so much better. Now, this is something that is so important for all of us to know because there's a parallel for people who are followers of Jesus. Every single follower of Jesus is gifted. Every single one of us has a way to contribute to do God's work in the world. And every single person who considers Park Ridge Presbyterian Church to be their church home has a gift that they need to give to our church. Now, when we say this, this sounds like one of those things that is both reasonable and unreasonable. It sounds reasonable because, you know we have something to contribute. But it sounds unreasonable because it matters so deeply that we do this. Because what happens is if we use our gifts, if we use our abilities to do what God is calling us to do, and if somebody else does what they are called to do with their gifts and abilities, then we are stronger and better together as we serve. But if we don't do what we can do, then somebody else has to do it for us. Because maybe it's an essential function, maybe it's something we have to do. But if we step aside and don't do it, and we can, then we leave a gap. And what that feels like is playing out of position, and it compromises things for everybody else. And we don't want to do that, because then we can't come through on what God is calling us to do. Now, this is one of those fundamental teachings that Jesus highlights and followers of Jesus highlighted since him. And in the book of 1 Peter that was written in the first century, there's this reflection that's given by Peter, who was one of the followers of Jesus, we think, or somebody that was imitating him or writing down his teachings. And it's very clearly stated in 1 Peter chapter 4 that people who are gifted are called to be good stewards of those gifts so they can bless others. That's the specific logic that Peter represents there as his sense of how he's encouraging us to live. He's calling us to recognize that every follower of Jesus has skills and abilities that God wants to use. And when we recognize this, that means that we are good conservators or stewards or good users of those gifts. And then when we put them into action, we help other people experience the gift of our community, the gift of the church, the gift of God's people. And then that has a compounding impact in the world around us as we then help God's dream come true, not only just for our church, but for people all around the world. And when we think about this, I hope it becomes clearer to us that we each are called to use our gifts in a very unreasonable and sometimes reasonable way to help advance our future so that we can take those next steps together as we go forward. Now, as we've been exploring over these last few weeks, we are responding to God's call in our lives in this season as Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, wanting to make sure that we are investing ourselves as people who are generous in our daily lives, and as we put a focus on what this looks like for us as our church. The dimensions of generosity that we've already explored are the fact that each one of us is called to volunteer to take our turns in those areas of service where we need to just sign up and make sure that we're taking a turn as an usher, a greeter, helping with coffee hour. These are some of the things we deal with on the day-to-day for our in-person. And as we explored in detail last week, we want to hear that call that we are trying to be a financially responsible and sustainable church. And to reach those goals, we're hoping that there will be 200 adults who will commit to giving $2,000 a year each year as they can. And when we get to that goal, then we'll be more sustainable as a church, being able to do what God is calling us to do. But there's this one last piece, which is we are hoping that people will experience a transformational leader experience as a part of our church leadership community. This is a vital part of what it means to be our church today, is that every single person who is able and can contribute as a leader to our church does so. And when we do that, then we play in our positions and we play out of strength. We use those gifts and abilities that God has blessed us with, or we've earned or cultivated or learned, then we can use those to make sure our church moves forward. Now, this is what it means to be gifted and to be a good steward and then to serve other people. And in our church, it looks like serving in a couple different leadership roles. It means we need people who are going to be good elders, who want to carry forward the vision, want to make some strategic decisions, and really understand how this whole goes together. We need people who are willing to serve as trustees, who are looking at our finances and facilities and really guiding the financial stewardship of our church. We need small group leaders who have a sensitivity on how to cultivate a sense of connection amongst people. Of course, we need people who are gifted and called to work with our children and youth. You can't just put anybody in those spots and expect the things to go great. And on, we need deacons who are leading our caring ministry. We are looking for people who are called to lead us in our missions ministry, our outreach ministry, so on and so forth. There's so many things. We need people who not only love doing the Take a Turn volunteering, but are like, you know what? I want to help organize that in our hospitality leadership. When you hear all these things, not only do I hope this paints a picture for you of what we are trying to do in mass and why it's so important for us to do this collectively, but also I hope when you hear these things, you also hear a sense of your place, your role, your opportunity to be used by God in the most amazing way. Because what happens is if you serve in the place where you're called to serve, where you're gifted and have the capacity, you will have a transformational experience. Because serving in this way transforms our lives. It's like those times where you're doing something and you realize that you've been doing something for hours and you're not tired and you would do it again and you keep doing it. Maybe I've said this before, maybe you get physically tired because it is tiring, but you're like, I can't wait to wake up the next day and do it again. Or I can't wait till the next time I get to serve. I can't wait for the next time to have my small group. I can't wait for the next time that I get to work on a project that is going to help us be more focused on blessing others. Like when we engage in these ways, then we are able to do what God is calling us to do and take those next steps in our lives. So as we think about how we can engage in all three dimensions of generosity, the time, which is kind of taking our turns, the treasure, which is committing financially, and then the talent, which is engaging in these transformational leadership experiences, we are able to make a monumental difference in our life together and the impact in our community. Now, in a few weeks, we're going to begin this very important but sometimes overlooked process of putting together our next round of leaders. This sounds a little boring, I got to admit, I will admit, but it's so important because over the next few weeks, we are going to launch our next season of nominating committee. Now that sounds super boring, I realize, but it's super important because it's not just a project that we have to accomplish to fill slots. It's actually a very vital spiritual journey that our church goes on every year to find people who can fill in, can serve in these transformational leadership spots. We're not just looking for a warm body to fill the cold seat. We're looking for people who are sensing God's call in their lives to say, you know what? I have this gift. I have this ability. I have this time. I have this willingness. I have this passion. And you know what? Here's this opportunity that I can say yes to help our church. Now, we should only say yes to the things we should say yes to. If we should say no because of circumstances, we should say no or not yet or another time. But if God is calling you, and if you hear this opportunity to do this, then we hope you will say yes. Because we need you. And you need to do this. Now, I don't want to guilt anybody to do something they shouldn't do. I don't want to make somebody feel obligated to say yes when they shouldn't say yes. But if you can be used by God, we hope you will be used by God. Because when you say yes, we all take the best next steps we can. And when we say yes, things really go from feeling unreasonable to reasonable, and we can do great things because of that. You are gifted, and God loves you, and God loves you enough to hope that you will use those gifts so that you can have a transformational experience and be a blessing to others. Would you please pray with me? God, we are grateful that you trust us. We're grateful that you are with us. And we're grateful that you equip us for the work that you have given us to do. And God, as we sense your calling on each one of us and your calling collectively as our church, help us to respond as best we can to these opportunities you have set before us. God, we are mindful of the skills that other people have. We're grateful for the skills that other people display. But God, in a humble and hopeful way, we really ask that you help us to each acknowledge that we are gifted, that each person has something to contribute, and when they do that, we are better for it. God, help each and every one of us hear you speak to us so that we might have a transformational leadership experience through our church. God, we pray this not for any selfish reasons. We ask that you hold those intention in check, but we ask this so we can fulfill your dream for our church and so that your dream can become more and more true for our community and the whole world as it is. We pray this in your name. Amen.